Our Father's full giving,
His only begotten.
His love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. That's some good singing, some good songs. Hallelujah. I said I was going to preach three messages today. Let me get this one in. Tim gave me a glimpse at his book, and I liked it so much I took a picture of it. This was 32 names of Jesus. And I said, I'm going to write them down and read them this morning. I didn't get them read, but I still got them in a photo here. Jesus is called the Word, the Creator, the Light, the Lamb of God, the Son of Man, the Light of the World, the Rabbi, the Bread of Life, the Messiah, the Prophet, the King, our High Priest, the Savior. He is Lord. He is Emmanuel. It took two pictures. Where did I leave off? Emmanuel? He is the Bridegroom. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Door. He is the True Vine. He is the Friend of Sinners. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He is the beloved. He is the resurrected. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the Alpha and Omega, the faithful and true witness, the Amen, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the offspring of David. He is a bright and morning star. I wanted to get them down. Someone wrote all them down for me, I'm sure, and they'll give them to me after church, right? So, again, who is the King of Glory? Praise the Lord. I love that chapter. I love that verse, all right? And we know who He is. By all them names, I trust. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're continuing on in our series to find out how a Christian can thrive in persecution. And Paul is writing, as we saw in his introduction here, to the churches, or to the saints that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And that's a little circle around Asia where Nero was giving dire persecutions to the church. Paul writes to them as strangers. And you and I are strangers in this world. And Peter don't want us to forget that, as he emphasized that here to these. Let's pick up our study again. We got down to, and I did not preach this as well as it could have been preached, which salvation the angels desire to look into. I wish I had more time to just dwell on so great salvation in that point. But let's pick it up in verse 13 of 1 Peter and chapter 1. Remember, we're looking at how to thrive under persecution. We're looking again out of chapter 2 and verse 20, how to take it well when we are treated wrongfully. And I picked this message again, or this topic, actually these two letters, because we're headed right now, and we are presently existing in the most leftist, socialist government that this preacher has ever seen in his lifetime. In fact, it's the most antichrist government I've ever seen in my lifetime. And so, again, we need to learn some things here from the book of Peter, and I've enjoyed immensely going through some of these. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Let's pick it up right in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, Wherefore, When you find a wherefore in your Bible, you should find out what it's there for again. Wherefore, he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning themselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you for its power. Thank you for its message to us today. I pray that you bless it and cause again, Father, that you prepare hearts to walk into this new year with the name of your Son on our lips and the joy of our salvation in our steps, even though we're headed into troublous times as a nation. And Father, I'll praise you again and thank you for your touch on believers here, especially at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And Father, in this week again that we open in worship of your Son on this day. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we look at this portion of Scripture. I want to go back and preach all the points that come before that, but let me at least hit them. I already said that he's writing to those that were under horrid, unbelievable, indescribable, and for you and I, unimaginable persecution. I believe that we are headed for persecution. We've already seen it in 2020, again, where they single out churches and do everything they can to close down churches. Some counties, some governors are more adept at doing that and more hasty to do that. But again, notice that they took an opportunity. They had an opportunity for executive orders, and the first thing they do, again, is lay down the law against churches. They don't want churches assembling together. And so that's diabolical, and we've looked a little bit at that. But notice here again that we're going to face persecutions, and we're going to face, let's go ahead and hold your place there. Look over at verse 20 again of chapter 2, and notice what it says. This is what we're preparing for. This is what we're looking for in this year, and how we're going to deal with this. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And so I'm preaching some of this at me because I need to hear it again. I've been so frustrated, so tense. Again, at the fact that we're taking persecution, we're taking suffering, we're taking challenges to our faith, and we're not doing it very patiently. Americans don't do that patiently. We don't fall back and lean on our Savior. We fall back and lean on our Constitution. We fall back and lean on our rights and say, hey, I've got my rights again. And so again, we need to learn some things that Peter has learned, and here he is giving it out to these strangers in this world scattered throughout persecution. So several things he says to them. First off, he calls them elect. Now, this election is not anything like John Calvin has. This election is not anything like the Catholic Church has. This election is, again, as we said, that we are elect. In fact, notice it showed up in our reading today that we have called you to be holy. Same tense. Same idea, that we are called, we are elect, we are chosen, as it were, to be holy. And that choosing is not from birth, that choosing is not again before the foundation of the earth. Although Gentiles were chosen before the foundation of the earth to be partakers, Gentiles corporately. And so we looked at that idea of that we are first off, and that's an encouragement to us to understand that we're elect. Not in the sense that Presbyterians or the Calvinists, even that run around in American circles that say, hey, I am chosen by God. I am the elect of God. Listen, it's far better that we understand that you are dirt and we are saved by grace. And it's only by the grace of God that we have salvation. And so we looked a little bit at being elect. Then we looked again at having this inheritance, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And then we looked, precious little, but we looked a little bit at the idea that we are in trial. Look at verse 7. For the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Think about that. The trial of your faith. How's the trial of your faith going? Anybody know where faith comes from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me encourage you to read your Bible this year again and emphasize that. But you know, to me it was a big deal. Again, when I figured out, I think it was 2 years ago, I figured out that believe and faith in Greek are the same word. One is a verb and one is a noun. But it's the same word. And so let me say that out loud again. That just hit me. I mean, I couldn't get that out of my craw. Believe and faith are the same word in the Greek. It's the same thing. So when we say, do you have faith? We're saying, do you have believing? I guess, I don't know exactly how you turn a verb into a noun. But do you believe? And if you believe, then you have faith. They're the same thing. And so when we say testing a person's faith, and notice again, our faith is going to increase through trials, as it says here, and the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. And so our ability to believe God, when everything, it's easy to believe God when everything's going well. When everything's gone amiss, that's when we need our faith to increase. And so again, I encourage you that we're going to be going through trials. Perhaps not like they were here in Pontius and Galatia, but we're going to be going through trials in our daily lives and in our national life in 2021. And as we do that, recognize that as something precious. And then I did not get to preach all I wanted to say about so great salvation. But these things are given, and this is still the introduction to 1 Peter. These are given by way of introduction so that you could be prepared to walk into persecution, to walk into suffering, to walk into trials of our faith in a way that would magnify God and glorify His name. So that you could walk into things in 2021 and you could again have a heart that's prepared that says, hey, I'm going to go in with Peter's advice and Peter's attitude and I am going to thrive in this year no matter what happens. And so looking at that, again, notice that that's a theme that we find throughout the Bible. In everything, give thanks. Unspeakable and full of glory here in our trials. And so notice again that we want that for us. Look at the next. So those are a few things that he's given here in his introduction. And the next three are just as important. And I like them because they sound like this. WWW. Okay. So we're going to do a study on WWW right now. And notice the first one, again, is our walk, starting there in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. And so we want to look at our walk that's given in by way of introduction in this chapter. Then we want to look at our worship that's given of the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter. And then lastly, we want to look at the Word. When I went through and spun through all of both 1st and 2nd Peter in one reading, I noticed that this introduction is just repeated over and over and over throughout. And so once you got a good handle on the introduction, you know where the body of the book is going to go to. It's going to be, again, about our elected position in Christ. It's going to be about an inheritance that we have incorruptible. It's going to be about suffering but enjoying it just the same and counting it as gold in our lives. It's going to be, again, about so great salvation and understanding that the prophets who preached it did not see it. But you and I have seen it and grasped it and hold it. The angels desire to look into it, but they cannot. They don't know what it is. And so, again, those four things we've already covered in our introduction, but also our walk, and that's going to be a major portion of his coverage here, is how we walk with this in this suffering. Number two, how we worship in this suffering. And then lastly, we want to look at this introduction on the Word of God and its place in walking into 2021, where we're going to encounter persecution and suffering. And so as we look at this portion, let's go back to this, our walk look. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me just preach that one verse and we get a good handle on our walk. What does it mean to gird up the loins of your mind? What's it mean to gird up your loins? Anybody know that?
Pull up your skirt.
I was hoping someone would say that. Guys, pull up your skirt. Okay. And so again, that's where you turn your skirt into breeches, okay? And so that you can run, so that you can walk, so that you can work. And so again, that's something to do with the apparel of the day. And here it is used again by Peter to again demonstrate that, hey, we need to again pull up our, I don't know how to put that in today's vernacular again. I don't know. Put on your working clothes maybe again. So we need again to prepare ourselves and to prepare our wardrobe here as it is in this description so that we can again take care of business so that we can either run the race that was commonly used back then, that we gird up our loins to run, we gird up our loins to work. We gird up our loins to accomplish some activities in our life. And here, notice again what it says is, gird up the loins of your mind. I like that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 comes to mind. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Back when I was young, I had that memorized again. The whole kit and caboodle again. So look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I got through the first verse. I did got hung up on the second one. That you may prove, which is a reasonable service. And be, oh, here it is, verse 2, I missed. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is that what your Bible says? How are you going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Is what I want to focus on here for a moment. And then it says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're talking about our walk here in a time of suffering, in a time of challenges to our faith, in a time again of even persecution, in a time again when there's a trial of our faith going on, and the charge is that we have a walk that's holy. And also here that we get there by girding up the loins of our mind. If you think about that illustration again, it's with the idea that there's loose ends in your garb that's going to get in your way. And boy, I want to tell you that there's loose ends in your mind that's going to get in the way of serving the Lord. And we need to gird them up, could I put it that way? We need to grab them and tie them to something. And so your thought life, and over there in Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind, That's how we're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so again, here, it's going to be in the mind. There's mind games going on in Washington right now, again, and you've seen that. They've got a huge advantage because they have every news network there is, barring maybe one or two. Every major news network is on their side and helping them with the lies. I see PBS has got a big special coming on about how Trump started a riot in Washington, D.C. A documentary, because they know that's what happened. And so they're trying to get that out there before the impeachment stupidity takes over in America. And so again, understand that hey, we need a renewing of our mind. And again, that's the challenge that we have in this day and age. It's frustrating to me, and it's probably frustrating to you too, that I know people, I am kin with people, I hear regularly from people who swallowed everything that was said by the news media and for the past 4 years, and now again they're saying, hey, we're all children of God, let's all just get together and now that that's over with, we can all get together and be agreed. Boy, I get madder than anything when they say that, and it's hard for me not to take a baseball bat and hit some of my kin upside the head. So again, understand that. No, and let me clarify that we're not all the children of God. You're not a child of God until you get adopted into that family. Let's look over to John chapter 1. Hold your place there, Peter, I'm coming back, and we're talking about our walk. I know, but I want to jump back into this salvation thing real quickly. John chapter 1. Well, what a dissertation here on the Lord Jesus Christ that we want to look at a little bit later here in this message when we're worshiping Him. But look what it says in verse 12. Look what it says in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, verse 14. Look what it says back in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Listen, you did not become the sons of God until you received the Son of God. And so you can't say we're all children of God. And I encourage you, politely and carefully, to correct people that are saying, well, we're all God's children. We are not all God's children. We are all God's creation. That's fine. You can say that. Well, we're all God's creation and we ought to get along. However, there is a sin factor that got thrown into this mess. And so all of God's creation is not going to get along. All of God's creation is going to be groaning for the righteousness of God. However, let them go ahead and at least say we're all God's creation. In fact, that's probably better for them to say that. Because, again, most of the people that want to say that have some tangle up in evolution in their mind. And so we're all God's creation. Absolutely. Right. Keep that in mind. In fact, put that right out in the forefront. But we're not all God's children. We're not all God's children until He gives us power to become the sons of God. And at that point, you are adopted into the family of God. You become accepted in the Beloved. But before that, I don't care how much pretense you make, there's a lot of professed Christians that aren't possessing Christians. And so again, understand that here, when we're looking at this, we're looking at the walk now for true children of God. And it says we need to gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. There's another verse that whenever I read that, it comes to mind. It says, be sober and be vigilant. Everybody know where that is?
1 Peter 5:8.
Yeah, yeah. Because why?
Your adversary,
the devil, is roaming around seeking who we may devour. So again, I want you to picture one of the robes, what do they call it? Gird up the loins of your mind. I want you to picture one of the straps of clothing that's supposed to be girding up your mind, and it's hanging out loose. And again, we're challenged here to go ahead and get that thing tied up so that we could begin the process of renewing our minds. And so you find some. As you walk through this week, you look around for sections of your mind that are drifting out of place while you're supposed to be loving God. Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, Jesus added. And you find again some areas in 2021 that say, hey, there's areas of my mind that are out there hanging loose. If you have trouble finding any, again, let me encourage you to pick up a TV guide. I don't even know if they make them anymore. You look at the shows you're watching on TV, and you'll find, again, some areas of your mind that need girded up. You look around in your life at what you're doing for entertainment. You look around in your life, and listen, there are areas that we need to guard in our life so that we can accomplish a walk with God. Peter's going to say much more about this in the body of his text. Here in the introduction, he makes a strong and powerful point. Look at it again. Because it is written, be ye holy, verse 16, for I am holy. Listen, we need a holy walk in 2021. We need again to have a holy conversation. We need again to gird up the loins of our mind and get into this battle that we could put him first. Look at verse 18 now. For as much as ye know, we looked again at the fact that we need a renewed mind in order to have a walk with him in 2021. Now we want to have a worship of him. Look what it says in verse 19. And I'm going to bring this up probably over and over and over again. Let me give you a little poem that Peter writes here, starting in verse 19. Or verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. In my Bible, I've got to underline, ye know. And I got a line drawn across my Bible over to chapter 2 and verse 13, or chapter 2, verse 2, that ye may grow, okay? And then I got a line drawn across my crack of my page and over to the next column, to verse 9 of chapter 2, that says that ye should show. And I got one more line drawn across my page, and it goes down to verse 21 of that chapter that says that ye should follow his steps. And then I wrote in my Bible, dot, 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 go. Okay? So here's a poem that's in my Bible again that Peter wrote accidentally. It says that ye may know, that ye may grow, that ye may show, and that ye may go. And so those four things are going to be in his theme throughout. And he just accidentally lined them up in the columns of my Bible here so that I could give them to you like that. I encourage you again to get that in your Bible. And when we get to chapter 2, we're going to spend a lot of time about what it means to grow. And let me just hit that before we get there, that every modernist ecumenical Bible that I have ever seen, every one of them, and I've got 15 of them in my office, every one that I've looked at has that ye may grow unto salvation, and unto 1 Peter 2:2, that ye may grow into salvation. And so every ecumenical Bible has given the ecumenical view that we grow into salvation. And that it is not our being born into salvation. We grow into salvation. And they've twisted and changed every modernist ecumenical Bible to show that you have to grow into salvation. If that was the only verse they changed, I would burn every modernist ecumenical Bible I could get a hold of. Because it is a modernist ecumenical Bible. And it is not God's Word. And so we'll get to that. Let's go back again to this idea that ye know. For as much as ye know, verse 18, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers. And then look at verse 19. But ye know that ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I've got another study I did, again, that covers everything that was foreordained, everything that was chosen, everything that was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And the election of your soul is not one of them. The election of nobody else's soul is one of them either. And so again, this one is foreordained. And I'm going to cover this under the idea that we need to worship God. We need to worship what He did for the giving of His Son. And we need to hold that in highest esteem. But honestly, I do not know how to explain as a theologian with a doctorate in theology, I do not know how to explain this verse right here. I don't know how it is that God ordained before the foundation of the earth. Think about that. Before He created the world, He had ordained that His Son would come and die for you and I. There's a blank in our tape right there, because I draw a blank when I try to explain that, when I try to comprehend that. In other words, before God created the world, and listen, I believe in a six-grade creation. I'm a little different than a lot of other people, again, even some named Baptists who are really Baptists. I believe that God created the world and everything that in it is in 6 days. That's what my Bible tells me. It's pretty clear. And so He also created angels in those 6 days. If that accurate, that statement's accurate, they are created beings, and God said, hey, everything that is created, I created everything in this universe, and that includes angels that are created in and for this universe, that He created them in 6 days. And so I hold to that rather dogmatically, because I believe that God says what He means, and He means what He says, and He gave us an account for all that. He doesn't specifically describe the day that He created angels, but He does say over and over and over in the Bible that a host of heaven were created, and everything that was created in those 6 days. And I emphasize that again because that meant before the foundation of the earth, before the creation of this earth, before the creation of man, before the fall of man, listen, before the creation of angels, before the fall of Lucifer, God ordained here that He was going to send His only begotten Son to die for the sins of man. Not to die for the sins of angels. We just saw again that angels can't understand the redeeming power of God that you and I taste of. But He ordained that before the foundation of the earth. Listen, we just need to worship. And we need to believe. And we need to have faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so we need to, again, just believe what He says here. But notice again the worship that's in these verses, that it was the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times unto you. And that's a reference back again to the fact that the prophets who manifested it, who wrote about it, who talked about it, did not see it, but you and I have. And we have seen what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. Verse 21, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And so again, we're branching again into two areas here. One is our worship for what God did, and the fact that He sent His Son. And the other is that the testimony that we have is sure. And again, it's what saved us. It starts in that transition in verse 22. But boy, don't miss the fact again that God Almighty, who is the King? Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord, King of hosts. I don't know if that name even got listed in there again. And so again, as we understand that going through persecution is going to be a trial of our faith, understand this, that we need a faith in God and we need to worship Him. You're not going to understand all this book. Okay? And when people say, here, get this new version of the Bible, it'll help you understand. No, it ain't again. There's going to be things that we're going to be wondering about for all of eternity. We have a finite mind and we're trying to get our hands on an infinite God. We're trying to have an understanding of an infinite God. I love reading through the book of Job again because, in fact, Wednesday night we're going to be going into the book of Job. In fact, I think maybe we might cover the whole thing again on Wednesday night. And just ponder again a book of philosophy that's found in your Bible to understand that we can never get our mind around the God that we worship, but we worship Him. And then this last section, I don't have to get it properly, but let's hit it at least. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Two things are called the word. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the word, and this book right here, 66 books, written over 1,592 years by my calculation. 1492, Moses started writing down there at Sinai. And again, at 100 A.D., John dropped his pen and said, it is written. And so again, as we have this book, it's called The Word, and it is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. The words of this book. I'm writing a section in my eschatology book right now that calls it jot and tittle revelation, which is bigger than verbal inspiration. God saying, hey, there's not a little piece of a letter or a flag off of a Hebrew letter that's going to be missing from fulfillment of everything that God said. And so understand that we have a very accurate book. And let me just preach that point by looking ahead to something that he says over here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn ahead in our study and let's look at this challenge that's coming out of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. For we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Listen, here's Peter. Peter heard God from heaven. Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. Peter was there when he was transformed. Peter, again, saw all these things, and he's an eyewitness. And because of that, he's an apostle. And as an eyewitness, again, he says, listen to what he says here. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so in this last few verses of the introduction, I want you to see the emphasis he has on the fact that we have the Word of God. Look what it says in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And listen, I'm getting a whole new rant here about modernist Bibles as I look at them, because I bumped into a bunch more verses this week that just make me mad at what the world has done. But think of that. The apostate church has given its substitute Bible, and all the world has gone after it. If you're here and you're still thumping on a King James Bible and holding on to it, I want you to know that you're a rare breed. That, again, most of the world has gone after the ecumenical Bibles. And again, as we look at here, there's going to be an emphasis all through Peter that if you want to stand in the last days, if you want to stand when there's suffering going on, when there's persecutions going on, listen, you need to have a faith in the Word of God that's unchangeable and it's accurate. If the foundation be destroyed, what's the righteous to do? Listen, here's our foundation. Make sure you're standing on a right foundation as we step into 2021. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for the change you brought into his life that caused him to write such a book. Father, I pray again as we would look at it and read a precious epistle written to suffering saints and persecuted. Father, that you'd help us to draw some things that cause us again to have faith in 2021 and to have a walk with you that could cause again, Father, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Help us in what we looked at here to have a walk, to have a worship, and to have your word first and foremost in our lives, that we could again thrive in this year. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and have a hymn of invitation, perhaps. Let's stand for that. Perhaps God's tugged on your heart. I haven't covered a lot on salvation here. But if you're here today and need salvation, boy, I encourage you to deal with that right here in the quiet of the moment in our invitation. If you're here today and can think of someone who needs salvation, so great salvation, boy, I encourage you again to bring them before the throne. Father, that we can worship today. I pray again, Father, that you'd accept our worship. I pray, Father, again, that you touch each heart that's gathered here. Thank you we can gather with other believers in this day and age. Thank you again, Father, for your blessing and our love for you. Go with us now as we step off into a new week. Father, we go with thy strength and thy might, with the name of your Son on our lips and the joy of our salvation in our step. Cause again that we be witnesses in a troubled day, and we'll give you the praise. Pray again, Father, that you'd be with Sandy and John, and Father, for their family and all that's going on this day. I pray again that you'd surround them in your gentle care and love, and we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Is Job the same Job that's in Genesis?
I don't know. We found a Job that was in the ancestry of
Issachar.
a son of Issachar.
Yeah, but I was curious as if it was because it's in the line as far as who is the next. But, and I was looking up some of his resume, and I think I found some of them.
Or something close.
In Genesis. Yeah. That's what I found. It's the same Joe.
I don't know. Here's what I know is that all the scribes, as it were, say that Job was written probably about the time of Moses.
You have a good day.
And so then I possibly would say that time frame.
Well, this was not anyway, so.
You have a good day. Okay. Have a good day, sir.
Good job, Tracy.
Good day, sir.
Good to see
you. How are
you doing?
So there's some Sarah and Joe. Everybody's in. Everybody's in. So it's all added in. Just a quick run through the time frame. Yeah,
I just
think
you don't have the Bible. Tell you, at the beginning of the book, it tells you
son is
whoever,
but
it doesn't for
Job. How many people were named Job back then? Not like David.
Yeah, really.
Okay.